You're on the committee.
I am, yeah, she's not, I'm not.
Oh, no. Hey, Ken, he's on.
Is that four on 40?
This is good.
Okay.
That's a little more than that, most are five, 10,000. That's close to 3 million.
Okay.
Probably the other stitches.
But do those amounts prevent the premiums?
Okay, all these are. Ken, put the lid on.
First RJ and now you.
Roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
I'm here.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congressman Supranolle.
Here. First item of business is, second item of business is prayer. Ron, would you like to hear?
Heavenly Father, we ask to be in our midst today. Your blessing, Father, as we move forward, Father. Try to do things good here for Bishaji people, and if we can't quite do it, do it adequately without your help and intervention, your guidance, and your blessings, Father. We ask for that now, Father, we need that. Father, if we overdo, or we don't take care of it in the right way, Father, we ask you to take care of that. Because we try so hard, and sometimes we don't know the correct way. We know that you know the best way, Father, and that's what we want. Father, we ask you to do this and calm our hearts and minds and souls.
Thank you, Ron. Next item is approved, Officer 24.
Page two, on the motions, the first two motions, the votes four to zero. Does somebody leave the meeting, Madam Clerk?
I am unaware, because I was not here that day. I did not work this meeting. And we listened to the audio, and that would not allow me to know whether someone left the meeting or not. So I'm honestly not sure.
I'd like the minutes to reflect five and zero.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't recall anybody leaving that meeting. The motions up on the top of page two, the vote count is four and zero on both of those motions. And it shows that no one left the meeting, so I'd like for it to reflect the vote to be 5-0.
I wasn't here, but it seems.
Oh, Angela?
On the bottom of page one, is this the people who were in attendance plus anyone they just announced? Or just people who were in attendance? Like, I see how it's reading, but mine's confusing. And my understanding is that Chair Supranolle wanted to note that these individuals were in attendance at the meeting.
Was Bill Jones here? I don't remember being here.
Who's that?
Bill Jones. She wasn't here.
No.
I don't believe that Dustin.
Dustin Alvin.
Right.
He wasn't here either.
Okay.
I don't know why that got in there.
The other people above Bill Jones were here. She mentioned, they did mention them as the, some of the leadership.
Right, they did, but it says introduced and also in attendance, so it's just kind of confusing if you really look back on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion to approve.
I move to approve the committee minutes from August 24th, 2016 as corrected.
Second.
All in favor, say yes.
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 Abstain.
Minutes are approved. I was kind of kidding about Bruce not showing up because I told him that we wouldn't be talking about the budget, but then told him it was gag order and he was not going to show. And so, well, we do have Reed Woods here, who's the owner's rep. Wood, would you like to come to the table here? And he's going to give us a report on the construction activities. And Reed, I'd like, if you would, because this is going to be, there's people listening in.
Sure.
For my benefit, because I've slept since the last meeting, can you kind of give a brief description of a construction manager at risk and what he does and you know.
Sure.
Just so the listening audience can kind of.
Sure. The construction manager at risk delivery process is a process whereby you select a contractor typically in the earlier phase of design, as opposed to a general contractor where in that delivery method you finish the drawings and you put it out for competitive bids and then the low bidder gets it. There's also a design build where you sign a contract with a contractor and he hires an architect and they do both. But in the construction manager risk, which is what we're utilizing, you go through a competitive selection process and you define certain criteria for the contractor to quote. And in the instance of the casino project, we sent out a request for qualifications to a number of different contractors, and they responded back with their qualifications of similar projects, similar size, similar type, those sort of things. And then based on that, you can narrow the field down if you want to a more select list, and then you send out a request for proposal. And in the request for proposal, we ask for them to respond to certain criteria like their overhead and profit fee, their insurance cost, their performance bond cost, the cost for the staff on site, the project superintendent, the project manager, and we even ask them to quote items like equipment rental and all of those sort of things. And in this instance, we reached out, we actually advertised in newspapers, and we went out to all the trade journals, the construction trade journals, and advertised for construction manager at risk. And we reached out from my office to approximately 25 different firms and made them aware of the project. And we contacted firms in Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Texas, and Arkansas. And we ended up getting 5 responses back for the request for qualifications. And upon reviewing the qualifications, we decided to go ahead and send 5 of those firms a request for proposal. And so we got that back. And then what we did is put a matrix together that shows their fee for overhead and profit, that they would mark up the entire project, their bond cost, their insurance cost, all of their general conditions and project requirement cost. And then we said, put the cost matrix together based on $150 million project. How much would company A cost you? How much does company B cost you? And how much does company C cost you? And then we ranked each of the 5 firms based on that. And you bring the firm early or in earlier in the project, and the design goes through basically 3 phases: schematic design, design development, and construction documents. And the purpose of bringing the contractor in earlier is to let them initially start doing cost estimates very quickly on the project and make sure that everybody's on board, that we're designing the project for the budget and that it can be built for the budget. And so very quickly after we selected the CM, we were in the schematic design phase, we had the CM do a cost estimate for us, and then at every phase of design, we have them update their cost estimate based on the most current information. And so the CM at risk process, they give you a guaranteed maximum price, that's the GMP, and they are at risk for that. You can do CM not at risk where they don't have a guaranteed maximum price, but I wouldn't recommend that option. But at the CM at risk, they do guarantee the maximum price, and then they participate in the design process as a team member. And it's their responsibility to participate in design meetings and do cost estimates throughout design so that the project stays in budget. And so that's the process that we're utilizing.
What happens if the project balloons way beyond the guaranteed price?
Because the CM is on board, if there is a, we have two contingencies in our overall project budget, and we have a total project budget of $150 million. Of that project budget, approximately $120 million is construction only. That's just for the contractor's piece. Then in addition to that, there's the architect's fee, there's furniture, fixtures, equipment, there's gaming equipment, there's all of the other pieces that make up the total project. And within the overall $150 million budget, we have, at this point, two contingencies in there. We have a 3% contingency that's required by the Competitive Bidding Act that's an owner contingency. In the overall project budget, we also have a design and construction contingency that's 5% of the total project cost. It's normal that as the design evolves, there's more details. And so there's maybe things, and you utilize the CM to allow budgets for the things that aren't defined for them to quantify those costs and include those in the cost estimate. And they give us a detailed breakout that's roughly 50 pages worth of backup, and it shows what they've got for all the categories, even though it's not fully designed. Well, what happens as the design evolves, if there's a detail that the contractor had made one assumption and the architect designed something else, you've got two options. One option is you can utilize some of your design contingency to cover that cost, or you can get your team together and go back to them and say, we've got to either come up with a creative option as far as to reduce the cost for that specific item, or we've got to identify cost savings in other areas to cover that cost overage. So you go through that process at every phase of the design.
I know you've got some concurrent projects going on.
Yes.
Some very large projects.
Yes.
Like the gathering place.
Right.
Could you kind of explain to the committee what, this may be redundant, we've probably done it before, but what your function is and
sure.
what your responsibility is in this process?
Sure. On the gathering place as an example, that project brought the CM on board early on, and throughout some of the earlier phases of the design, Stonebridge, my company, had actually been doing cost estimates for that. When we brought on the CM on board, they did a cost estimate immediately upon coming on board, and their cost estimate was within $1 million of the Stonebridge cost estimate on $250 million worth of construction cost. And so everybody felt very comfortable about that. And in that particular job, we went ahead and went to the last phase of design. We completed the construction documents. The construction manager put it out on the streets for bid. And they came back and gave us a new GMP after they had competitively bid it on the street, and the cost had increased by $60 million. And so we went back and we worked with the CM for about 5 months, going through value engineering, doing the process that I described and looking to where there were savings here and savings, and analyzed all of the changes. And at the end of that process, we felt like that that particular CM had not done a good job of competitively bidding the project. And as we went through the cost estimate, there were numerous categories of work where they only obtained one bid. In some areas, they obtained no bids. And so we felt like that that was one of the major drivers for the substantial overages. We had encouraged them to go out and get additional bids, and they were reluctant to do that. And so the decision was made to terminate that contractor and select a new contractor. And so we brought on a new CM at that point. They went out and were very aggressive about getting subcontractor participation and really worked with the subcontractor market in all areas of the project through each of the construction areas of the project. And they went out and solicited contractors from Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, and Texas, and got tremendous participation. And at the end of that process, we went from being $60 million over budget to about $5 million under budget. And it was mainly just from the bidding process. And so that's kind of the reason you utilize a CM. And
but you mentioned just before the meeting that the Osage Nation previously had been in a position of not getting very many bids on their projects, and you've been able to really increase that. Could you talk a little bit about that? What you've done to cause that?
There, you know, in the back to the Gathering Place as an example, that project has some very unique categories of work in it. There's a tremendous amount of stone, thousands and thousands of stone that has to be quarried and fabricated and delivered to the job site and installed. And so it is very unique. And so finding contractors capable of producing that size of a project. One category of work that was not as complex as that, but it was large by dollar volume, was the concrete work. There's several buildings in the Gathering Place, and then there's thousands of square foot of sidewalks and paving and parking lots and all those. The original CM only got one bid on that category of work, and the concrete package is an example. And of course, they felt like it needed to be all done by one contractor so they could control the quality and workmanship and all those sort of stuff. And there was no smaller contractors that could bond a project of that size. Just the concrete alone on that project went from $39 million under the initial CM. The second CM broke it apart into each individual building as a separate project. The parking lots was a project, sidewalks were, and broke it up into numbers of projects. And it's a number of different subcontractors were successful in that, but the cost for just the concrete only went down from $39 million to $24 million. So it saved $15 million in that one category of work. And so it can be a combination of that, just the packages. It's up to the CM to put what they call bid packages together. And how they bundle bid packages can encourage competition or limit competition. And that's one of the things that happens. I think probably the number one thing that we saw was lack of competition. And really, when you're going out on a project, you really need to go out and work with the subcontractor market to get them interested in the project, to answer their questions and do those sort of things. And so a large part that we see is how the CM treats subcontractors. And if a subcontractor is treated well on a project and paid in a timely manner, those sort of things, they're anxious to bid the next project for that contractor. for a CM that maybe doesn't encourage those kind of relationships, they're reluctant. If they have two or three different projects to bid, they're not going to go bid the one where they've had a challenge getting paid or they've had problems with the contractor or whatever else. So it's really a process of treating subcontractors fairly and working with them that you're not asking them to take an undue risk in the project. And I think that's the lion's share where we see projects, even ones that are very complex and very complicated, like the gathering place. If you work with the subcontractors, you explain to them what the expectations are, you're open with them up front about schedules and durations and those sort of things, we got great participation. So I think it's kind of a mindset on how you engage with the subcontractor market.
This is the Commerce Committee here, and then Kelly Corbin is back there, and you know, we've made an agreement or authorization for Kelly to audit this project as
yes.
we go along
yes.
and not wait till it's over and find out
yes.
we're $30 million over.
Right.
So he may have some questions, the committee may have some questions, and if it does, just go ahead. But maybe you can kind of bring us, but I would like for you to give us the bids on
sure.
the construction manager risk.
And sure.
Just kind of get into the status of the project now. The committee will probably have some questions.
The firms that ended up submitting proposals, Crossland was the firm that was selected. They had not only the lowest fee, their fee was 2%, and their overall cost for the entire project came in, when you looked at their general conditions, the insurance cost, their builder's risk cost, everything else, their total cost for the entire project ended up being $8,660,802. Second bidder ended up being the closest was a joint venture between Flintco and Redstone. They had a CM fee of 2.75%, and then by the time you looked at all of their insurance cost and other cost, their total cost was $8,969,619, or about $300,000 above the low bidder, Crossland. Then the third bidder was a joint venture between Ross Construction out of Tulsa and Yates Construction. Their fee, their CM fee was 3%, and by the time you added all of their cost in for their staff cost, for project managers, project engineers, insurance cost, all the other costs, they ended up being at $9,528,160. And then the fourth bidder was Oakland Construction out of Arizona. Their fee was 3.5%, which was the highest fee we received, but their total project cost was $11,667,396. And then the last bid was a joint venture between Arrowhead Construction and Robbins and Morton. And Arrowhead, Robbins Morton's fee was, CM fee was 3%, and by the time you added in all their other project costs, they were the high bidder, the highest bid at $12,050,483, or approximately $3,400,000 above Crossland.
I don't know if you'll recall this, but when we were in the process of developing and finalizing the competitive bidding bill, mm-hmm. this company called us at the last minute and tried to influence Congress into giving a 10% wholesale preference,
right.
which would have been way over $1 million. We didn't do that.
Right.
And, but their bid actually was approximately $4 million over the
yeah, $3.4 million. So it wouldn't have done them any good, even if you had done that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll throw it open to the committee, or you want to go ahead with where we are. Sure.
The design, we've completed the schematic design. The design development phase will be completed the end of this month. We've competitively bid several packages of early infrastructure packages so far. Currently, the data and communications center for all of the casinos is located in the event center at the Tulsa Casino. And so to be able to build the new casino, we have to tear the event center down. And so we have to have their new data and communications center up and operating before we can do that demolition. We went out and did competitive bids for a new data and communications center, and we got 5 bids back. And 2 of the bids were very close together, IBM being the lowest of those bids. And we went back, and the other 3 firms, and that package was roughly $1.3 million, and the other 3 bidders were all approximately $300,000 above the 2. And really, the 2 lowest bidders were only about, I think, $30,000 apart. So they were very, very close. IBM had the better package, and they had a little bit more preferred equipment. So we selected IBM for that contract. We just recently bid 2 other packages, as a matter of fact, last week. And those 2 packages, one is to bring in new data communication services for the casino. Right now, the data communication system that comes into the casino is going to be disrupted in the current location it's at when we build the new casino. So we're basically building a ring around the casino that they'll have 2 different providers, and they'll have some redundancy there. They'll have both Cox as one provider, and then they'll also have AT&T as the other provider. And so AT&T and Cox will both bring in the fiber. We have to do the excavation and bury the conduits and bring them to all the locations. But then Cox and AT&T will actually put the fibers in at no charge to the owner as a part of their service agreement. And so we bid that package last week. We had competitively bid that, and we had a ended up getting 3 quotes for that work, and the low bidder, our budget was $700,000, and the low bid came in at $651,000. So that came in approximately $49,000 under budget. And then the other package that was bid last week was water service, new underground water service, and sanitary sewer service for the new casino. And we ended up getting 5 bids on that package. And that also had a budget of $700,000, and the low bid was $629,579. And so both those packages came in under budget.
Oh. I think on that bid, Kelly, you know, in the competitive bidding bill, we were supposed to be notified 72 hours in advance before bids are open. We got a notice on the one bid, the first one, that went for 650. We got that. It was mailed the day.
The day of.
The day of. So we didn't have a chance to have anyone there. I don't think we got a notice on the other one. And I know that's not your responsibility, yeah, but Bruce is aware of that.
Yeah.
And see, we didn't even get a notice on the selection of the construction manager at risk, but we talked to him about it. He had found an excuse for that. He said that it didn't, according to the strict interpretation of the law, it didn't have to notify us. But I think we have an understanding now that,
yeah,
we're going to be notified whether we have to,
sure,
or not.
Sure. Well, what we have to do, we keep all the bid documents. They have to be received in my office, and we date the day we receive them. We have to receive them 30 days before the bid is due, and then we have to advertise at least twice in a publication, 20 days before the bid is due. And then in addition to that, we go ahead, and even though it's not required, we advertise in all the construction trade publications. And then the CM has a list of several thousand subcontractors that they issue it to at the same time. So we can go ahead and put you on the list and notify you of those bid dates as they come up.
Kelly, too.
Yeah.
Read it, please.
Yes, I did, but I forgot what it was now. I just wanted to switch gears and ask, the design development over at the end of this month, so
yes,
then we'll go into construction documents.
Right.
When that's over with.
Yes.
And that's when most of our hard costs are really out there for us.
Right.
Right now we have pretty good cost estimates.
Right.
The hard cost comes with design documents.
Right. And so between now, the construction documents will be finished in January. But between now and January, there's three more packages that will be coming out for bid. In October, there will be a site demolition and earthwork package. And so that package comes out in October. Structural concrete will also come out at the same time. So this is footings and foundations and those sort of things. And then in the month of November, structural steel will come out for bids. And then in the month of December will be mechanical and electrical and plumbing. And then everything else, the entire rest of the entire project, comes out the first week in February. And so that's when, once we get, I think we'll, the CM has done a really good job of budgeting. They provided this documentation and backup on each of the packages, and they've broken the cost down for us. And as we bid each of these packages, we'll have a higher degree of comfort. But when we get the February bids back, that's when you'll have selected all of your subcontractors. The bids will all be guaranteed. It'll be in budget at that point, and you'll be on track to meet both your schedule and your budget. Right now we're on schedule and we're on budget, but until the documents are 100% complete, we won't have all the subcontracts awarded.
Thank you.
Ouch.
I guess, who's going to maintain the county records?
We will, in my office, we'll maintain pay applications. And what we do is when we get any invoice or any pay application, it comes to me, and then I review it and sign off on it, and then I'll send it to Bruce for Bruce to review and sign off. And Bruce has been very active. We have weekly meetings. He attends all the weekly meetings, and he participates in all those things, so he's up to speed. But then both after I've signed off on it and then Bruce has signed off on it, then it gets submitted for payment.
To the casino?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to maintain the expenditure records?
Right. And we...
You'll have a backup as far as change orders?
Yes.
Or approval of payment?
Right. And in my office, we'll get all of the detailed backup from the contractor. And that's one of the things we do in my office, is go through all of the backup to make sure that they'll submit. Probably at the height of this, we'll get a pay application that'll have a couple of thousand pages of backup, and we'll go through all of the backup to make sure that it's used on this project, that it was delivered to the project, and it was materials that are incorporated in this project. And we sign off on that after we've checked that, and then we send it off and let Bruce review it at that point. He actually gets the invoice at the same time I do, so he can start reviewing it too. But we do that, and then we'll track all of the cost in my office, not only of the construction piece, the $120 million, but the entire project, which is the $150 million.
Right. Okay. So you're going to maintain your own set of, let's
yes.
say,
yes.
budget to actual?
Yes.
And
yes.
then, okay. So
yeah, and so we'll have...
I can look at yours and then look at the casinos.
Yes, and reconcile those two.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
How's this project coordinated so that we were not out of business at any time?
I think we can, and I believe Bruce has been meeting with Kelly.
Yes, sir.
And keeping Kelly every couple of weeks up to date on that. And so we can enhance that or give you additional reports and give you additional updates. I don't know how often you meet as a group, but we can. There's beyond the design phase, there's limited things going on. We're just now starting construction on these infrastructure packages, so there is a little bit of construction going on. But other than the design and the pricing, there hadn't been a lot going on. But we can send you a monthly report if
that would be beneficial. More about how is it coordinated so that we don't shut down the casino.
Oh, that piece.
Move into the new building.
We've got all that structured, and we're basically, we have to tear down the event center because the new casino is on the footprint. It's actually being built directly behind the existing casino, and it won't fit without covering the existing event center. And so we've got it laid out to where we can do utility infrastructure, we can do dirt work, we can do all of those sort of things, and then we're geared to start demolition on the event center late December, early January. But the casino remains in operation for the entire duration, and basically we're constructing, we're leaving alone the area of the current parking lots. The access into the existing casino will not change. And so we're leaving alone the operations of the existing casino. There is a little bit of gaming. I think they've got some slot machines that's in the event center, and they're going to relocate those into a portable modular unit during the construction phase, and that'll be on the east end of the existing casino. But other than that, we're not touching the operations of the casino at all. We're building the new casino that is on its own power feed, on its own data feed. It's totally self-supporting without relying on the existing casino.
You said that there was some structural bids that were coming out of it. Could you talk to us about how the process works?
Sure. As the construction documents are finished, we review those, and then we'll head those over to the city and Crossland, and then they'll put together actual bid packages. And then the bid packages, we review the bid packages when they go out, and so it'd be a structural steel package. And so they will go ahead and write a bid package and then submit it out to contractors. And then the plans and specifications for that bid package are actually posted electronically on Dodge and Southwest News, and several of the construction trade organizations will have access to those bid packages. In addition to that, Crossland will be reaching out to bidders in the four-state area and beyond to obtain bids, and then they'll have access to the plans and specifications. They'll be aware of the bid dates and all of the different things, and so it's basically up for anybody to bid that agrees with the requirements.
Is there a gauge value that's built along the structure of steel?
What they do is, for them, for Crossland, they're going to be looking for a contractor that has done projects of a similar size and similar type. And so that's going to be kind of, they are required to bond it, their payment performance bond on it. So they'll be looking for a subcontractor that can bond the project, and that'll be a requirement. And then a contractor who's done a project of similar type and similar size.
Well, if you've got any questions, I'm just going to have to leave at 5. If you've got any questions, I'll go. Ron, anybody?
Who's got it?
Who's gonna do the on-site inspection? As far as, you know, that everything's meeting specs.
We've got two different categories within the overall budget, not the construction piece, but the overall budget. We're issuing RFPs out for field testing, and that'll be to organizations like Terracon, Building and Earth, and all those. And those will be for the earthwork, for concrete, all those. And then we've got a separate category of testing and oversight of commissioning. And we'll, there again, we'll issue out a commissioning bid package to, and that pertains mainly to the water tightness of the exterior envelope, all the mechanical and electrical systems.
Who's gonna, like, is your office gonna maintain the punch list?
Yes.
At the end of the project?
Yes, yeah. We will work with the, and the punch list, Marnell has a local individual that actually lives in Tulsa that has been assigned to this and is gonna be their field representative, so that works out very well.
That's correct.
And Marcus lives in Tulsa and will be able to be on site all the time and be there every day. And so we'll work in combination with Marnell on doing and creating punch list and then signing off on the punch list to make sure that the items have in fact been completed.
Thank you.
No, I don't really. I've heard some of it, Byron's reported in the gaming meeting, so I think I'm pretty caught up for now.
Well, under the last project, around 60% over budget. We didn't know about it. We've got a whole new gaming board. We've got a whole new gaming management change.
Mm-hmm.
We've made other changes here in the nation. But so far, we're starting out the same way. We're not getting those. We're not notified of these bids, and we ask. You understand what we're trying to avoid?
Sure, and we can do that.
That's not your fault.
No, we can put you on the list when we advertise for the various bid packages. We can put you guys on the list, and you can get the 20 days notice just like everybody else does. So if that would be preferable, we're happy to do that.
We just don't want to let it get out of hand.
No, and
I
think you guys have a different level of oversight this time than you had the last time. And number one, we don't have a way for it to go 70% or 60% of our budget or 50% of our budget, because there is no money. The money we've committed to is the budget, and we're going to live within our budget. So there's no way for us to access additional funds and do that.
Well, Tom.
So sounds like everything is on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So after you receive all the bids you went over today, what the design, the original design? I don't know what the original design way back there, but mm-hmm. what we're going by now.
Right.
Has that changed any over the last few months? The size of the hotel, is everything basically as it was? And then. What is the timeline?
To your first question, the original hotel way back when, I think in the original deal, it was a 250-room hotel, and it was a 4- or 5-star hotel, a different quality hotel. When they came back and we had the $150 million budget and they really wanted to get a hotel in there, we changed the guidelines to a 3-star hotel, and that's what we stuck through all the way. And so we're on track for that, and the hotel is on budget, and everything's as we said it was going to be. So to the overall schedule point, once the final package is put out for bids in February, we'll take those bids in March, and then we've got the final construction completion is July of 18. So from March of 17 to July of 18 is we're going to be doing some infrastructure work early on, but the lion's share of the construction is going to be from March of 17 to July of 18. It'll be over.
And this was how many rooms?
125.
I just wanted to piggyback off what you were saying about the changes that were made also. And as a new member of Congress coming in, the old construction projects were going on, there was no way for me to know, unless I went back and sat and poured through the old annual plans, what agreements had been made that were ongoing. And that is one thing that we've asked the Gaming Enterprise Board to include in their annual plan. So now we also have a reference within our annual plan to look at the agreed but the agreements that we've made to their budgetary measures, such as projects like this, and they're going to report to us, or they do report to us in that annual plan, what's ongoing, what's on, and what's complete. Because it's really hard for a new member to come in and know what agreements a Congress made 2 years ago with the gaming board.
Sure.
So
certainly
that's another component. I just wanted to add that, that we have that now in the plan. That should be able to be used as a tool for members of the Congress also. Although,
yep,
this is very informative, and I appreciate you spending your time with
sure
us to come and talk to us about where we are.
You bet.
And like I said, Angela says, well, she knows, because sometimes we go to the Gaming Enterprise Board meetings, so we get a report on it there also. But thank
sure
you for coming and letting
well,
us
you bet
know.
Happy to do it. If you'll let me know who you want us to send notices to when bid packages came out, it's easy for us to do. We'll just add you onto our email list. So anybody that wants to be notified of it, send me their contact information. And
well, I think if you send a notice to Kelly. And to our secretary,
okay,
she'll distribute it.
Yeah, if you'll give me her email address, and I'll get Kelly's from, oh, you got it. Okay, perfect. Yeah, then we'll just make sure you're on the same list that when we send everybody else a notice, you'll get yours at the same time.
Well, I appreciate you coming up. I know you got to go to the South also. I've
yes
never been this far south. And I appreciate you coming.
Sure.
I guess that no one's told you you can't talk
nope
to us.
Nope, nobody's told me that. Yeah.
I don't know if nobody has any. Art, you got any questions?
Probably more legible.
I don't know.
Excellent. Great. And I'll get Kelly's card, and we'll just make sure that you guys get added on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming up here.
You bet.
To adjourn.
So moved.
Everybody in favor say yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doing
good
project. Doing great.
It's
on schedule and in the budget.
It's
doing great.
To cut everybody off.
Did we have an owner's rep?
Until at least Wednesday.
Paca and Sky Tooth, we had an owner's rep.
We had an owner's rep. That's
when they can talk to their legal counsel. Raymond came back over here and said, after we left session this morning, he ran over, had a conversation, and came back, said, don't shoot the messenger.
He actually
that this is what's going to happen, that they can't talk to, and I don't know who they're referring to.
Yeah.
But they, that will be their first opportunity to get with them.
Thanks for
turning
off yet.
They heard all that. Okay, thank you.
So
he's running a lot bigger projects than this.